There's actually very inexpensive ways of actually taking an email list and getting mailing addresses mm-hmm. for that. The success rate, I think, is around 65%. Mm-hmm. So if you have 10,000 email addresses, you can get about 6,500 mailing addresses back. And it's like only a couple hundred dollars to do that. I was actually surprised how cheap it is. Mm-hmm. And so if you have all these people on your email list and you're constantly sending them great stuff and they're downloading stuff on your website and blah, 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 and you're like, you know what, I probably need to like send this person a letter. Mm-hmm. You can actually pay a relatively small amount of money to actually get their mailing address. So, and even if like 1% of those people ends up opening that letter and responding, you have a couple dozen more people. But all right, so yeah, so wanted to just show you a quick way that we are getting people into the funnel. So we noticed that on lifenews.com. How many people read lifenews.com? Most of you? Some of you? About half. That there's all kinds of like advertising on there. Some of it's better than others. And we decided that we were gonna just jump right in there. And so the little "I support overturning Roe versus Wade" sign now, that's our ad. So we're paying to have that ad on there. It's not very expensive. Actually, it's pretty cheap to advertise mm-hmm. with Life News. And you get to see it to our website, to a landing page, where we ask people to sign this petition. We will deliver this petition to Capitol Hill, which we'll actually do. We're not lying. And folks can submit that. So now, when you click on sign the petition, look underneath there, it says, you will receive emails from CareNet. So we're telling people up front, when you submit this. Now, the amazing thing is that 50% of the people who come to this page actually submit
yes.
their email address. 50%. So remember I said before that a good conversion rate is like mm-hmm. 25%? So we're getting 50% on that. So it's performing incredibly yeah. well.
And when that yeah. happens, it's also an indication that that your ad, whatever's directing them there, it's a one-for-one correlation of what you're actually talking about.
Yep.
So if you're seeing low conversion ratios, lower than that 25%, and you're wondering why, it may be that the ask, whatever it is that's making them click, is not lining up with what they're getting when they get to the landing page, if that makes sense.
Yep.
So
yep.
this, people are getting what they're looking for, which is a petition, and they're signing it. And what happens, Vince, when you sign the petition?
So click. Let's see. Yeah. All right. So We're just horrible people, I'll just say it right up front. But basically what we do is say, thank you for signing the petition, but your additional support as a generous tax-deductible gift today will reach parents considering abortion with a life-affirming message of truth, blah, blah, blah. So it doesn't just take you to some generic thank you page. It actually takes you to our donation form. Yeah, and we actually got this tip from Mech Labs, the guys I showed you at the very beginning with the inverted funnel. The Mech Labs folks had this tip. They said whenever people fill out a landing page on your website where you're giving them something like a free download or they're signing a petition or something like that, don't actually give them the download right away.
Yeah.
Instead, send them to your donation page and tell them, and you'll see in the other ones, tell them that they'll be getting the download in their inbox. So thank you for blah blah blah. You'll be getting you'll be getting your free ebook in your inbox within the next 30 minutes. And then you make the donation ask. We've actually raised like a couple $1,000s and gotten probably 50 new donors just from doing
exactly.
this. And it doesn't cost us a thing. It requires no maintenance. It's like no effort, right? We just like change the link to where you go after you hit the submit button, and it's generated a couple $1,000s. It's found money, and those donors, they because those gifts are between, I think for this one, the average gift we're getting is I think $25-$30. And for the downloads, the average gift we're actually getting, and these are like first time gifts, it's like $50. That's actually not bad for a first time online complete stranger giving you a gift, $50, right? It's not too shabby. And so, and like I said, even though it's only a couple $1,000s, it's like 50 new people that now are going to start getting mail from us and all kinds of other things. And so it's kind of like this aha moment. It's like, oh, yeah, all I have to do is just send them to a donation page. So even if your success rate on that is like 1% or something like that, you know, you can get a couple dozen new people. And now all these things are going to start popping up. So where was I? Okay, yeah, okay. So, to continue along that line, so we just talked about emails, so just like exchanging emails with people. But there's another little fancy thing that HubSpot and other tools can do, and forgive me, I don't know exactly where you can get this functionality without HubSpot, but I'm sure it's available, and I can probably research it for you guys. But there's something called workflows. So the actual definition of a workflow is an automated set of marketing actions that execute based on a starting condition. Okay? My definition is emails from you that you don't actually send. This is where, you know, like Cyberdyne systems from the Terminator, like the machines are taking over, that sort of thing. Who remembers that? 1984 Terminator, Cyberdyne systems, awesome. Awesome movie. This is where you're just basically giving HubSpot a set of instructions that says, if this person does this, then I want you to send them these four emails over this period of time. So it's like doing your work for you while you're like at home sleeping, you know? It's a really powerful way to continue to inspire and inform people who have signed up. Again, I'm going to remind you guys, these are people who signed up, right? So they, even if they don't want to hear from you, they're sort of expecting that they are going to hear from you because they gave you their email address, right? So here's a simple example of a simple workflow. Someone subscribes to your blog. A workflow is triggered. So what that means is that they subscribe to the blog. So we've told HubSpot when somebody subscribes to this blog, an email should automatically and immediately go to that person thanking them for subscribing. So we're simply saying, thank you for subscribing to our blog. We hope you enjoy it. A week later, another automated email is sent asking if they would like to undertake other actions on our website, such as downloading a white paper. So we say, we hope you've been enjoying your blog posts. You might be interested in downloading Why Pro-Life by Randy Alcorn. Click here to get your free ebook, right? So again, this is pushing them up the funnel, right, so that they don't fall out. 2 weeks later, an automated email solicitation for money is sent. So the thinking there is that we've been taking them through a series of actions. Hopefully they've made a couple of micro yeses, and we want to make sure that it might be counterintuitive, but the philosophy here, and it's backed by research, is that it's actually better to ask them for money quickly than it is to wait a really long time. So basically within 3 weeks, we've sent them three emails. They've probably been getting the blog post that they signed up for. They hopefully have downloaded the white paper. Whatever it is, we're asking them for money. So should we... it says live demo there. I don't know if that means I have to like do something.
No, I can pitch
you
there.
Yeah. Oh, which you mean with the computer? Actually, I don't even know if we can do a live demo. Can we?
Yeah. Not a live demo of an action, but we can show them what it looks like.
Sure. Why don't we? Yeah. Go into the back office here.
Workflows.
Don't look at anyone's email info. it's all private and confidential. No, probably not.
No, actually.
You want to go to abortion in the church research. Yeah, that's like a nice ambiguous sort of. Okay, so remember I mentioned earlier that we put our research on abortion in the church behind a form. So we've already gotten 538 people to download that puppy in a couple of weeks. So they go to the landing page, they download the research, right? It, of course, it takes them to the donation page first, but then it emails them the thing. So what it's saying is that people are going to be enrolled in this workflow when they fill out that form, right? So if you fill out abortion in the church research, you get into this workflow. And then the very first thing that happens is that you immediately get an email called abortion in the church workflow number one. So why don't you just click on that? Look, 72% open rate. Thank you very much. Okay, hi. It actually will have their first name. Here is a link. here is your link to download Karen's groundbreaking study on abortion in the church, blah, blah, blah. I tell them about making life disciples. I ask them, you know, I tell them a couple of other things that they can do. This one's slightly different in that we're actually trying to get them to buy, because these are usually pastors or church leaders, and we want to actually get them to buy the Making Life Disciples curriculum. So there's a little bit of an ask for a purchase up front here, but typically with our other workflows, we're not quite doing that. And it's still Artie. That's fine. Yeah. So anyway, okay. So you can close this one.
It's not his favorite. So, you know, really miraculous. We have the open rate we do.
All right. It's on the bottom. No, I'm kidding. No, you're beautiful. You're beautiful. All right. Go back in here. All right. So. Okay. All right. Now this is where it gets maybe slightly complicated, but it's really important. So we have like seven different things that people can download on our website. Now, what if you go in and download all those things, right? Now you're in like seven different workflows. And if each workflow has four emails, that's 28 emails, right? Right, right. So what we've done is actually we've used a little bit of logic here to basically say, if you are active in any of our other workflows, stop this one. So you'll only get that first email that says, here's your download, buy the curriculum, and then it'll stop. But if you're not active in any of those other workflows, then obviously we want you to continue in this workflow. And so the next thing is 3 days after that first email, they get another email, which is workflow number two, which you can click on that one, which is, yeah, this one. I actually might have to change this one because this one's a little bit weird. And the reason it got weird is because we actually got the Making Life Disciples curriculum in our warehouse to actually sell and ship to people. So I inserted that up at the very beginning of the workflow, and so it kind of messed things up a little bit. But anyway, so this one was just a general email asking them just to do other stuff with us. So it was telling them about our pregnancy decision line and ways to get involved. And if you scroll down a little bit, we started with Pray. We had Volunteer, and we have the Find a Pregnancy Center tool there. So the Find a Center tool is there so they can actually find a pregnancy center. And then the third one is Give, and so they can make a donation. So this one was kind of our soft ask, where we're giving them some options. You can pray. You can volunteer. You know, here's just some information about who we are as an organization. And then the soft ask at the bottom, and then the third email. There's a fourth one, right. Okay. And then the third email is 4 days later. And this one, you don't have to click through to that one, but the third email is actually just a hard ask. It's a solicitation for a donation.
Donate now.
And then this is actually brand new. So what we've done here now is, instead of stopping it with the donation ask, we're actually asking folks if they'd be willing to fill out a survey to give us more information about themselves. And HubSpot just launched an integration between SurveyMonkey and HubSpot, so all of your SurveyMonkey data will automatically get populated into your HubSpot contacts, which obviously makes life a lot easier. You don't have to do manual imports, which wouldn't be horrible, but it's obviously much easier this way.
Yep. And we found a lot of the people who download a resource from us want to fill out a survey about it.
Yeah.
So those are emails are getting opened. And on the survey, it's a very quick survey. We have a final question. It's, I think, the fifth question on a five-question survey, which is, would you like to tell us more about yourself so we can create better pro-abundant life resources in the future? And almost every single person who takes the survey says yes. So these people are so bought in, they're saying, yes, I want another survey. So they then immediately get another email that's created on a separate workflow that says, everyone who says yes to this question gets this email, which directs them to a landing page where they get a form that gives us all their persona data. So we know demographically what their age range is. We know why they're interested in pro-life. We know what makes them, you know, what they're passionate about, all this, that allows us to craft better messaging for those individuals.
And this all goes through HubSpot?
All
yes,
of it.
It does.
So if you are brand new and you don't have money for HubSpot yet,
mm-hmm. Yeah, there are ways of
I believe you
cobbling a lot of this together. Like you could separately have like say MailChimp, SurveyMonkey, a WordPress website. Now as far as like I said, I don't actually know exactly how you could do the email workflow automation.
I think you most of the clients are paid for that. HubSpot is not the only client that does it, but I believe all the ones I've seen are paid.
And there are cheaper, there are less expensive tools than HubSpot. HubSpot's probably one of the more expensive ones, but there's a platform called Salsa. There's one called Marketo. Mm-hmm. There's a couple, there's probably about five of them that have this email automation functionality that you might want to look into as well. So there are other options out there. I mean, MailChimp is not, you know, MailChimp's not bad for, you know, for getting email, mass emails out.
And it gives you a high five at the end of every message.
Right. And in fact, I never used MailChimp, but Karenette was using MailChimp before I got there. And actually, some of the folks say that some of the stuff in MailChimp is actually better as far as just the email sending functionality is actually, some of it is better than HubSpot. So MailChimp's not terrible. So don't feel bad about using MailChimp. All right, let's go back to the PowerPoint presentation because let me just see what I have next. Okay, yeah. So the example, the example could have maybe gotten a little bit kind of crazy there, but I just want you to remember the principles here, which is that you're trying to take people, you know, down a path or up a funnel in this case by, you know, just introducing them to additional things that you think they might be interested in doing. Before, you know, going for the big give us money or donate or whatever it might be. And so I think HubSpot has some guidelines about how many emails should be in a workflow and what the time frame should be. And I think generally speaking, I think we're pretty much, you know, 3 to 4 emails that go out over a 1 or 2 week period is where you want to be. Because you're going to lose people if you're extending it out too long. They might start forgetting where it all started. So you want to kind of capture strike while the iron is hot. I couldn't think of that first word. So all right, what time is it? Just so we do it. Okay, so I'm going to move a little bit faster here. Okay, lead scoring. Again, this is probably a HubSpot or Marketo or automated marketing tool thing. But so I'll go through this fairly quickly, but I just want to kind of show you guys what's possible with some of these things. So lead scoring is assigning point values to your contacts based on their actions on your site and or with your emails. My definition is it's a way to find out who's hot, right? And remember, these are people who signed up, right? So what you're essentially doing with lead scoring, and your question earlier made me think of lead scoring, because you're like, how do I find these people? One way to find them through HubSpot and similar tools is there's obviously going to be a big difference between somebody who subscribes to your blog and then over the course of the next 6 months opens one email from you versus somebody who subscribes to your blog and then over the next 6 months visits your website 8 times, opens 20 different emails, downloads 4 white papers, et cetera, right? And the way to quantify that in HubSpot is through this thing called lead scoring. So you assign point values to every one of those actions. So if you open an email, you get a point. If you click on an email, you get 3 points. If you visit a web page, you get 7 points. If you download a white paper, you get 10 points, et cetera, et cetera. So the more kind of deeper or involved the action is, the higher the point value. And then you can basically create a list in HubSpot that says, I want to see a list of all the people who have scored at least 50 points in my database. So let's say you have 5,000 email addresses in your database and you're looking for all the 50s or higher, right? And so out of your 5,000, maybe that's only 50 people. But those are the 50 people who you know are the most engaged with what you're doing, right? And so what we're actually in the process of doing right now is working with our direct mail vendor, and we're basically saying, here's our list of people that we've collected through HubSpot, and we've basically, you know, sorted them, so to speak, by their HubSpot score. So we have all these people that have these really high HubSpot scores, and we're actually going to try to get their mailing addresses and send them something in the mail and presumably, theoretically, see some sort of correlation between whether or not they actually respond to that mail piece and what their HubSpot score is. So I guess our hypothesis is that the people with the higher HubSpot scores are going to be more likely to send in a gift to that direct mail solicitation. Does that all make sense? And so I'll give you a quick example. So you want to target your and in this case, I just talked about actually using direct mail, but that's, let's just say you want to target your online, your email fundraising efforts on people who are the most deeply engaged with your organization. So you set up a lead scoring system. For each email, they get a point. For each email they click, they get 3 points, et cetera, right? And then you set up your criteria that says if they reach 30 points, they get placed on a hot list or top prospects smart list. Then you can send an email or a series of emails to those folks that say, with targeted messaging, that accounts for their special status. So, thanks for being such an avid reader of our blog, or thanks for being so engaged with our work here, or, you know, thanks for downloading so many of, you know, the helpful ebooks that we've, you know, provided with you. So you can kind of target your messaging, so it's not just kind of your generic, like, whatever, you know, messaging you're sending out to your entire list, because now you know that these are the most deeply engaged people. Not only have they signed up, but they've done all this other stuff on their website, so they must really be interested and really care. And so you could be a little bit maybe more aggressive and specific in that messaging to those people than to the 5,000 other people on the list who haven't really done much. Does that make sense? Let's skip the live demo on that one. It'll just end up probably getting a little bit complicated. All right, so phone calls. All right, here's my big joke for the day. The actual definition of phone calls, an instance of speaking to someone on the phone or attempting to contact someone by phone. My definition is an instance of speaking to someone on the phone or attempting to contact someone. I couldn't think of anything more clever than that, so it's the same. I have no opinion on phone calls. And so remember, these are people who signed up to hear from you, .. but maybe not by phone. So this is where, you know, it gets difficult. What's that? There you go. That's even more invasive, right? I want you to see me.
Since you mentioned that, there was an interesting study that was done on how millennials interact with with text messaging, because organizations and nonprofits have done experimentation with reaching out to millennials via text because millennials text. If they have not said they want to receive text messages from you, generally the overwhelming response for millennials is don't text first. So if you're sending out phone calls are still better to do for that first thing unless someone specifically said they want to get text messages. So just because you mentioned the other, I thought I'd throw that out there.
Yeah. Now, what I'm talking about here is generally much smaller scale stuff with probably donor prospects. So I obviously don't recommend you trying to just call everyone who subscribed to your blog and having a conversation with them. That's not what I'm trying to get at here. But this is like the guys like Kyle who gave the $5,000. I need to obviously be calling him every once in a while, right? Which reminds me, I probably should call him. you only have his first name, so good luck finding him. He's one of 5 million Kyles in the United States. That's right. So, use selectively. You don't want to start calling everyone. Lead scoring can help. So, if you want to say around year-end, Christmas time, Christmas, you know, year-end fundraising season, really, like if you have like super all-stars on your list who have really risen to the top, they've downloaded everything on your website, they've opened every email you sent them, it's probably okay to make a cold call to that person and see what can happen there. You know, the worst that can happen is they say, you know, thanks. Don't call me. I'm happy looking at your emails or whatever it might be. Use emails to set up phone calls. So there's like these, I've never actually used one, so I feel bad telling you guys to use one, but that's like parenting, right? You're telling your kids like not to do. I do it all the time with my son. I'm like telling him to do things that I'd never do myself. But like change your clothes. I did it again. There's these programs that you can actually use where you embed into your email a link where somebody can actually pick a time on your calendar where they're gonna call you or you're gonna call them. So it's like a live feed into your Gmail or Outlook or whatever calendar that you're using. And so there's a link right there in your email that says, you know, click here to pick a time that we can chat. And they'll actually click on there. It goes into your calendar. It's obviously they only see what you want them to see. And then they could select a time that you're open, and then you'll get an email confirmation that says, you know, you're going to call Bob at 2:00 on Wednesday, right? So that's actually really helpful because it identifies people who clearly want to talk to you because they've signed up to do so. And then wealth screening tools can help, you know. So in this case, like if you have a wealth screening tool like Wealth Engine, and you couple that with your top prospects, you can kind of see where the two overlap. So if you have top prospects on your HubSpot database who are also high net worth individuals who have given to pro-life organizations in the past, that's, you know, the sort of person you would want to call versus Jane Doe who subscribed to the blog, right? Okay, that actually is the end of our regularly scheduled programming. But we want to answer questions that you guys have, and so we'll open it up to the floor. Any questions? Oh, sure, yeah.
And I just discovered that the cool blonde guy who did all our graphics, Nathan, who just came in earlier, he took my computer bag with all but 5 of my business cards on. So I literally have, over here on this table, 5.
You're going to have to fight over them.
But the good news is, for a donation, I will be here all week. So some of you, that's a good thing. You can hear that. Others of you are probably groaning. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, he really is related to Calvin Coolidge, the president. Yeah.
So acoolidge@care-net.org. My number is 703-554-8749. And if you want snail mail, I can give you that address too.
It's unbelievably, I only have like about a dozen business cards, but I will leave them out here. You guys saw my email address is vdcaro, so V as in Vincent, and then DICARO at care-net.org.
I have a question.
Sure, yeah. So what HubSpot does is it'll actually create an Excel or a CSV spreadsheet for you. So you just export them. And MailChimp, you can do the same thing.
Yeah.
Most email programs will have an export feature. So you can export the list into an Excel file, and then you take that Excel file and upload it into Facebook. Yeah, and Facebook will give you the instructions for, you know, what it needs to look like.
Yeah, as long as, in terms of Facebook, as long as it's in an Excel CSV file and it's just an email address format, so, you know, abc@carenet.org or something like that, it'll work fine.
Yep.
So very good question. Other questions?
So on Facebook, can you ask them to like your page in that email you send out to your email people?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, you can include a link to your Facebook page and say, come like us, and you can, you know, just put the direct URL to your page on there. Generally, the best like campaigns are on the same device, the same service platform. So generally, when people try to get a like campaign to boost likes to their Facebook page, they don't get a lot of likes through their email. They get them a lot through Facebook ads, like actual ads designed for like campaign. And when you create a Facebook ad, one of the things you can do is you get to tell the ad what your goal is with it. So if your goal is to get clicks, to get people to click to a certain page, it will optimize the ad for people who are doing that. So it'll send it to the kind of people on the list that are doing that. If you want to do a like campaign, so you're trying to get people, the action you want them to take is liking the page, you can optimize the ad for likes. And they have all the selection on there. If you want something to go viral, that's not a click-through ad, that's not a like ad, that's a page post ad. You just want them to engage with your post. So you have those different selections within the ad manager. Very good question.
Any other questions? Comments? You can make the comments on your evaluation form.
That's right. Please do fill out those evaluations.
Actually, do they have the evaluation form, Jake? Okay, perfect.
Without those forms, we don't get to eat. So you
know. That's right.
Yes, you can schedule months in advance. And so, like, right now while we're in this room, there are Facebook posts that are scheduled for this week when we're busy doing conference stuff that'll go up. You can do the same with Twitter. You can do that with Hootsuite. I've heard several of you use that, so excellent. Great resource for you. And you can schedule Facebook, Twitter, all kinds of posts through there, and also monitor your channels to see what people are saying.
Yeah, Facebook is, they're becoming more robust. Because a lot of, not all of them, but a lot of these tools want to kind of capture people from other platforms and kind of become the one-stop shop sort of thing. So you see them trying to do more stuff like that. So, yeah.
Yep. Yes, in the back. Yes. Well, it may not be an issue of you doing it right. I think it might be more of an issue of the audience you deal with. When, I mean, Instagram, the the people who will see the ad is whoever's in your targeting parameter for the Facebook ad. So if your targeting parameter includes people that have Facebook accounts and Instagram accounts, it'll show it on their Facebook account and Instagram account. In my limited experience, I will say for the pro-abundant life message, it doesn't seem to go as viral as quickly through Instagram and seem as generally created for the message of abundant life as Twitter and Facebook are, especially Facebook. So I wish I had a better answer for you than that. Sure. And with client marketing, depending on what the image is, because Instagram is really going to be image-heavy ad more than text-heavy ad, depending on what the image is, you could have a powerful image. There are some really good images in that BYD Social One Pack. We have a couple more that we just started using. We got one that we just started using for PDL that I love because it just captures, I think, of what I would think of when I think of a woman making a pregnancy decision. So if you have an image like that, it could probably do better. In terms of potential donor messaging, I haven't seen a lot through Instagram.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I'd imagine for Instagram, I frankly almost never have used Instagram. A couple of times I've peeked at it. So I'm not by no means an expert on it. But I would imagine the pictures, if you're going to use images in Instagram, they're going to have to come across as really authentic, like actual photos that you've taken of actual people that are really artfully done and well made. So, like, doing a real photo shoot with real clients who are willing to have their face show up, I think that sort of thing would speak to people more than if there was, like, some stock image or something with a 1-800 number on it. You know what I mean? Any millennials in the room can say yay or nay on that? No? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, like, colleges will do Instagram advertising, but they're doing it really to convey the imagery of the beauty of the campus. Like, that's what colleges will do. And a lot of it's about getting your brand name out there. So if you're McDonald's or your Wendy's, you're trying to get your burrito or your, you know, actually, just so you guys know, Burger King now sells burritos. That's the kind of crazy world we live in. But anyway, that's
there's
an
no
aside.
Rules left.
So, like, the burrito from Burger King is on Instagram. You know, those are the kind of things that they're using Instagram for, which is why we just haven't leveraged it as much because it's just, it isn't our thing. It doesn't seem to convey what we're needing it to convey.
Enchiladas every other.
They call it the Whopper-rito. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, who thinks that is a good idea? Ketchup in a burrito? Like, seriously? Sorry, anyway.
Yeah.
It's a passion of mine.
The whole enchilada,
too, so.
Yeah.
Yes.
For, like, our clients, and we really deal with university students,
No, that's not true.
That's not true. The numbers on Facebook for millennials is extremely high, like we were going back at the beginning. And Facebook is especially where those millennials are getting questions and answers to their questions that they're having about pregnancy and everything else, because that's where they're getting their news. So if you have a 10 ways to know that you're in an abusive relationship post, a millennial woman is going to click on that. If you have how do I know I'm pregnant post, a millennial is probably going to click on that. How do I protect myself against STDs? Or the most effective means of preventing STDs, or whatever it may be. Those issues, I would personally argue, are perfect for Facebook sharing.
And I think you want to do it in Twitter, too.
And Twitter, yeah. Twitter, definitely. Yeah. But, you know, in terms of just addressing Facebook, yeah.
Oh.
Twitter and Facebook, those are made for it.
Yeah, I think that it's like that line that my, you know, reports of my death have been greatly exaggerated. I think reports of the, you know, the fall of Facebook among millennials, I think, have been greatly exaggerated. There's still, like, no joke, probably a billion millennials on Facebook, and that's, like, not that much of an exaggeration. I mean, it's, like, hundreds of million. I mean, they're still using it, maybe not in the same way that they were, that younger folks were using it 5 years ago or whatever, but they're still on there.
And the thing with the targeting is you can
video
target
especially.
Just, yeah, especially video. And you can target just those millennials in your community with the Facebook ads. So you don't have to send it to the general audience. You can pick the people. In fact, you can say, I only want the people who are either listed as studying at these community colleges in my community or who are likes, you know, have liked this community college. So you can specifically target those students at that community college, because chances are they've said they're studying whatever at this school. And so you can directly target them with that messaging.
Yep.
And those kind of titles, you know, like 10 things or 3 ways, those are things that are very click-worthy, a lot of people interact with, because we're curious. We're curious creatures. We want to know, well, what are those ways?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I mean, generally speaking, we're happy for them to be used and shared as long as they're attributed and linked back. That's perfectly fine.
Yeah, linked to our site. I mean, it boosts our SEO. It'll boost your, you know, it's a mutual SEO boosting relationship, you know, so, yeah, use them.
Axis is actually doing those.
Yep.
They're writing those.
They're doing that, but you are sending them
out. We're sending them out, but the content itself. It's actually written by Axis.
Excellent.
Yeah, we're not smart enough to do that, yeah. Good, that's awesome.
I really like what's coming through that.
Mm. Oh, yeah. It actually really disturbs me, though, to read it. I'm like, is this really, like, I wasn't a kid that long ago, but I'm like, man, I wasn't even thinking about that sort of thing. But anyway, I guess we... Yeah.
Well, no.
And do you guys all use the affiliate website too? The affiliate only login website? Yeah. Okay.
And let us know that kind of feedback, because this is a continual process of improving what we're sending out there. If there's resources that you want from, you know, headquarters, so to speak, that you're not seeing, or topics you want us to address, let us know. As someone who has to do a lot of writing for blogs and gets a lot of stuff on his to-do list, if you want to be a guest contributor and you have a post you want me to read, send it my way. I'd be more than happy to not only put you in the byline as the author of the post, which you are, but to link to your pregnancy center if you would like. So, you know, send it my way. Don't get offended if we don't think it's a usable post for whatever reason. Send us another one, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But we would, you know, we welcome that. We invite that. Personally, as another pitch, I'm always looking on our Facebook page for opportunities and excuses to highlight the work you're doing. So if you read in your guidebook, there's a quote attributed to me, which was my quote. I did say it, where someone asked me, what are you excited about conference? And truthfully, the thing I'm most excited about is meeting face-to-face with the people whose stories I'm trying to tell through our social media channels. So the more success stories you give me, the more I'm able to plug for you. If that makes sense. So there's something awesome that's happened at your center this year. Let me know. I would love to share that story on our Facebook page and link directly back to you.
So, like, yeah, if you guys blog about it, or like you're a local media outlet, wrote about it, or whatever. If it exists online in some way, shape, or form, some report or story about something that you guys have done, we'd love to be able to put that stuff on our Facebook page every day. I mean,
exactly. Because that's what, I mean, this is what we love to tell. So
for us, a success is if, like, you know, Artie and I eat lunch on time at 12:30.
Exactly.
Like, that's, you know, but for you guys,
yeah.
All right, I shouldn't say these. This is being recorded. But anyway.
But like, this is the kind of stuff we really do live for. And there's resources on there. Speaking of using resources, we have our impact report and the Center Savings report. Both just went on our public blogs within the last 8 days. And those reports are beautiful press releases that you can use for your center, because this is highlighting what you're part of.
Yeah. You know, our network saved, you know.
Yeah. The network you're a part of. There's a center right now, a CareNet affiliate in North Carolina, and they've been picked up by a number of pro-life news organizations. They're suing the city of Raleigh, North Carolina, because they applied for a zoning request to get a permit to build their new clinic right next to a Planned Parenthood clinic. So there's already a Planned Parenthood clinic right there. And it was approved by the local board, it was approved by the board of advisors, and the zoning board for the city vetoed it. Because they said it would be a locus, nice legal term, locus for protesters and other violent anti-abortion radicals taking place. So what's awesome is they're a CareNet affiliate. And as you know, if you've looked over your CareNet affiliation guidelines, one of those guidelines is that the center and its members, its staff, will not be protesting, because this is a different way, right? This is a different method. We're showing of compassion, hope, and help. And so their legal argument is all based on that. So they're going to the courts and saying, no. If we do the things the city is accusing us of wanting to do, we lose our affiliation as being CareNet. And so they're actually, that story's growing, and we've gotten to share that. So these are the kind of things that you can use to highlight when people are asking, well, what does it mean to be a CareNet affiliate? Or why? What is it that your centers are doing? You can say, we're actually part of a larger network. There's more than just us and our center. There's 1,100 centers like this around the country right now who are sharing this message because women are in need, and they need this kind of assistance. Any other questions, comments? Well, thank you guys so much. You've been a wonderful audience.
Thank you. We'll be here all week.
We'll be here all week, literally.